Intro. Welcome back to the Carly Pilk Boys podcast. I'm David Ferrier.
With Stephen Merchant.
Two little Aussie radio fellas there checking the old Ricky Gervais XFM shows. I've been listening heaps. This is Zach's first time through. We're up to series 2, episode 14, broadcast November 23, 2002. Zach, your Heat magazine style headline about this episode.
Radio genius apologizes for poor radio. Is this the last we'll hear from Carl Pilkington?
This episode starts out so strong, but then it really tails off
to the point where it does start really strong.
Where Carl literally apologizes.
I know.
Have you ever done that? That's happened on numerous occasions where I've felt
the difficulty is, there was a famous, a few years ago, there was a famous like tennis player, I think, or cricket player, I forget, but some team like apologized for a poor performance. And we took it and we thought we were parodying it. And we apologize for a poor radio show. We like made this bit. The issue is when people don't think you're joking, it just gets really sad. Like they're just like, oh, come on, guys, you'll do better tomorrow night. And it's like, no, we were joking. Like it was a joke. We weren't actually putting out a press release saying that we were apologizing.
Yeah, you give people the option to say, well, yes, we agree it was a bad show. And it can come back. Yeah, it can backfire on you. But yeah, this episode, we find so much is happening in Carl's life. His star is starting to rise. Mm-hmm. He's got the MTV opportunity. His parents have listened. We also find out that there's a new poster campaign for the show. So more people are listening.
I've done some research this week, by the way, when we get to that.
Oh,
I've looked up the posters. Have you done that?
I have in the past, yeah.
I was really interested.
Hoping Andrew Phillips says he still has one of the posters, and I asked him to send me a photo of it. He never did.
Okay.
Before we get onto the air check, I want to show you this. It's a work in progress. It's been at least a couple of months at this point, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
This is the Carl's life as a
Lowry painting.
This is great. We're adding a bit of color.
I've finally finished inking and now I'm adding the color.
I love it. So we've got Carl in the foreground. Young Carl?
Young Carl.
With his magpie. He's doing his paper round. He's selling his flowers. Yep. There's some type of two-way radio.
Yep.
Tic Tacs. His train. Yeah. Boxing gloves.
Have you noticed what's happened to the train?
It's off. It's been derailed.
Yeah, it's broken. His brother broke it.
There's a middle-aged to elderly woman farting.
Nora.
A woman shaving a cat, which I'm not sure if we've got to yet.
No, we have. Have we? But, have we?
I don't think so.
Carl's mum, the cat, used to always get sick and vomit on itself, so she shaved the cat so it was easy to wipe down.
There's a number of references I don't get here. There seems to be an old man fixing a shoe in a life raft. I don't know where that's come from.
It's one of Carl's like uncles, like his dad's friend, who was a cobbler who slept in a rubber dinghy.
Right. There's a lot going on.
And he's got two TVs. Can you tell what's happening with the two TVs?
There's one that looks like it's kind of just got white noise, and then one that's a program.
Yeah. One where the vision's working. But the other one, it's hard to depict visually, but that where the audio is working.
That's hilarious. Is that what he did?
Two TVs, one where the picture worked and one where the sound worked. It's a scene, it's a depiction of Carl's childhood and all the characters that populated Carl's life. And I've been working on it for ages. If you've been following our social media and Patreon, you've probably seen me asking for like, who are some of the characters? And I've even posted like little glimpses of the drawing. But it's underway. It should be, I'm hoping in the next week or two, I'll have it finished.
It's really good, Dave.
Thanks, man.
Really good.
Thanks. I've tried to cram in as many references as possible. And some will just make absolutely no sense unless you're very, very deeply entwined with the lore. Horse in the house? At the back? Nope.
Yeah, I can. I get the horse in the house. I get the tank.
Yeah.
I get the magpie. I get the go-kart.
Do you get the news agent with the sign that says Mars bars 1 pound?
Yeah, didn't he? Did he nick them or something?
Yeah, that's who he did the paper route for, and he used to steal them. That's what I should put. I should put a little Mars bar sticking out of his pocket. Ah, well. Anyway, that's on the way. It's a little bonus for, well, it's going to be something special for the Patreon. So keep an eye on that for when that work of art is finally finished. So let's get on to the air check. Break one. Carl's a little uncomfortable in this show because there's a camera crew in filming a little bit of Ricky for his documentary, The Fight.
Oh, and he says that it ruins radio filming it.
Yeah.
Which is funny, hey, because now all radio's filmed.
Yeah, you go into any radio studio these days and it is like it is a TV studio.
Mm.
With the branding over the shoulder.
That's right.
They got the lights, cameras. They got the cameras pointing at every microphone.
And a lot of, or at least where you work, the cameras start rolling as soon as you hit. It's just automatic.
There's some, it's out there. You just could never be bothered to go and try out, like, sift through all of the footage. But yeah, every time, like, so an announcers during the day, they pre-record a lot of their stuff. And I make a lot of mistakes. So if you sift through all of those clips, you'll just see a lot of fuck-ups. And a lot of, like, those moments where you're alone. So you do and say things that you would never do or say when other people are around. And I don't mean just sitting there going like, oh, I'm going to kill everyone in this office one day.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just the little sort of, like, vocal tics. Right. You know, particularly when you're trying to, like, psych yourself up to do a break. You might say something completely random and weird.
Yeah.
It's all available. It's all there. Everything's captured.
A bit of a mantra.
Yeah.
Come on, Dave. Pull yourself together.
All the tears, all of the weeping on my own. You can do it. But I have been, I've been seeing your social media because you and Dom are now doing, like, Ricky, Steve and Carl, a Saturday show.
Yeah.
The social media stuff you're doing, posting the videos, that looks to me like you are just filming it on your own phone.
That we are doing that, yeah.
Do they not have the same setup?
They do have a setup. But I prefer the angles. I'm a bit of a...
You're a TikTok man.
Perfectionist, I guess. Or not perfectionist, like particular.
You know your angles.
I don't like when the cameras are up high.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It looks like that you're watching a security footage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, the camera has to be at eye level. That's how you film a conversation. Also... Though, anyway, we don't even have the choice of that because...
You need a video producer or whatever.
But also, in the station I'm working now, only one studio has cameras. And we're in the second studio.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What is your... Do you have a little standing thingy? Tripod?
I bought some arms. They're kind of like bendy arms. And they have lights on them.
So they're kind of the big ring light?
Yeah.
Did you buy the Kardashian selfie kit?
No, but do they sell that? I'm interested.
I think so.
No, I just thought this, and to be honest with you, I don't want to get into how good's phones these days, but you can, like, I edit on my phone, we film on our phones.
What do you edit with?
Adobe have, like, a skeleton version of Premiere called Rush.
Oh, and you can, like, clip and you can insert and you can
have multi-audio tracks, you can have multi-video
That's
tracks.
Pretty cool.
Man, it's pretty legit. That's it has absolutely filled my phone.
With the size of the program,
yeah. Somehow the program's 100 gig.
What?
Like with everything I've got in it. I'm trying to figure that out.
How much space is on your phone? I think my whole phone is only like 64.
Well, I ran out of space the other day and I was trying to look at what took it up. This program is taking up 100 gig. And then so I deleted half my project files, thinking that should delete half the space, but nothing's... I was going to send a email to Adobe being like, what's going on? But besides the fact that it takes up shitloads of space, it's incredible.
Mm. Being in your position as well, and I think this as well, because for my show, because we have to do a similar sort of thing, is like if I want to record something, there is that slight discomfort that you just got to move past because it just is what it is where you're like, I think this is going to be so good.
Yes, that's...
Dom... Hit record, I've got some belters.
That's the great thing about when it automatically records.
Yeah.
Because you can do it retrospectively. It's like, hey, that was a really great moment. Let's search through the database and see if we can find it. Whereas when you here's the funny thing though. Often we'll go like, because, you know, sometimes you can't be bothered towards the end of the show. You're like, oh, let's not record this. Whenever you don't record, it ends up being like, you're like, no, this won't be funny. Don't worry about it. We won't run the cameras. And it ends up being a great moment.
Mm.
So do
you tend to record most of your breaks and then just delete them at the end of the show?
That's the policy now, because we kept missing moments because we're like, oh, we won't record this. But now it's like, record everything and just delete it straight after if you don't want it.
God, it's just another thing to remember.
Yes.
While you're thinking about, you know, the content and how you're going to get through this next break. It's like, oh, shit, record.
Yeah, yeah. But that's, you know, I don't think there's like, I think we're moving towards like, well, we've definitely moved towards it. But like, it's no longer like streamlined to like one skill set. It's like, you got to kind of be like, have skills in every area.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't have that problem in 2002. I don't think they've even mentioned it to this point yet, but there is like a webcam, but yeah, it is, well, that security camera angle. Is it
the picture on Spotify? The
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
The stream I'm listening to, there's like a very grainy picture as their thumbnail.
Yeah.
I love it. It reminds me so much of the early 2000s. It reminds me so much of radio studios when I first... They were dingy.
Yes, much more dingy.
They were... Now, yeah, as you say, they've got big LCD screens behind them. They've got kind of like, you know, on TikTok, how... What are these little LEDs that people run around their rooms now?
Yeah.
Have kind of like the purple lights. All the radio stations are like that. They've got these LED lights around. Yeah, they're brightly lit. Back in the day, they were dingy. They were dark. They had no airflow.
Yeah, but like very. I still get uncomfortable going into radio studios where the on-air booths or whatever studios don't have windows, because I know they to the outside world.
Yeah.
Because I came into radio at a point where it was like, I think it had moved into that area where you always had the best view from the radio studio. And the one where I work, where you used to work, I think you even said like they have to be up there as one of the best studios in the world in terms of...
Yeah, well, they put like radio... My rationale for that is radio in Australia is has a bigger place than it does in America. And I don't know about the UK, but I think it would, because...
Higher dollar per like thousand listeners. That's why Christian O'Connell moved here. He was doing a giant show in the UK, but the value per listener is much higher here. So even though he's just doing a Melbourne show within like a replay hour nationally in the afternoon, it's worth his while to do that because of the value.
But we make so little TV and movies though, that if you're our biggest, it's changing a little bit now that there's podcasting and stuff, but for a long time, our biggest comedians, even recently in the last 10 years, the biggest names in the country did radio, but that wouldn't be the case in America. You do movies. Like if you're Kevin Hart or, I don't know, like these superstars, you're not doing a radio show. That's way below you. You're doing movies and then if you're below movies, you do TV. I don't know what it's like in the UK, but in Australia, we don't make that stuff. So our biggest comedians are on radio.
That's so true. Yeah, in the UK, there's a few examples of people who were comedians and then did radio, but then you reach a certain level where you no longer do it. Simon Pegg and
True.
Joe Cornish.
Yep.
And Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant, of course. Do you think Carl sounds like a bit of a looker? Because that's his anxiety about getting... being filmed. But you saw him before you listened to him, because your entry was Idiot Abroad.
When I first listened to radio as a kid, I had this experience of like, wonder what they look like, and getting it wrong. You know, you listen to someone for 3 months, 6 months, and you have a picture of them in your head, and then you see them and you're like, that's what they look like? That's totally gone. Because it's the opposite now. I'll often see a photo of someone before I hear him on air.
Yeah.
Carl doesn't look like... I wouldn't have thought he was a looker. I mean, so many jokes are about... his round head. Like, I feel like you do get kind of a description of him. Or his, even the way Ricky says, what does he say? He looks like a cat who's frightened, or a stunned cat.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good description.
Can just almost, he looks at you like a cat who almost understands what you're saying. Yeah, that was an, that, cause that was an old trope, was you'd hear someone with a great voice and go, wow, they must be good looking. And then they look, you know, like, homeless or something.
Well, that's the face for radio, which is like a joke that people still try to put you down with. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But Carl, people thought he was overweight. That was a common
thing.
Yeah. We get a recap of what Carl's dad said while Carl was playing little drums in Little Donkey, which sort of speaks to why he's anxious about putting himself out there too much. And we get a solid tease from Carl. He's spoken to a woman with ghosts in her house. That's coming up later on the show.
In Pilkington.
With the first edition of Pilkington. In break two, we find out that Carl's parents tuned in to the show last week and he's freaking out about that. Have you been in radio a long time? Parents ever listen?
I don't think so.
I can say with absolute certainty parents never listened.
No, I don't.
Supportive, but like, good for you. Enjoy.
I think their understanding of what I do is pretty, like they understand what the radio is obviously, but like, I think they know what station I'm on. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't though.
Your parents not on TikTok? Watching the clips of Collective Noun?
They're on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
They like things occasionally.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you have that family member who likes everything or sends you messages all the time?
That used to be my grandma. She would like every, not to do with like content, just every post I did on Instagram, she'd comment on it straight away within 10 seconds.
That's cool. Where's grandma now?
No longer with us.
I've got an aunt who every story I get a reply. Lovely boy. Just that sort of stuff.
I like get frustrated at it. But at the same time I'm like, well, isn't it great that we have technology where they can feel a part of our lives?
Yeah. Sure.
Just don't need to comment on everything though, grandma, that's all.
Because it curbs my, you know, what I feel like I can share on there.
Yeah.
Because I just feel under the microscope, under the family microscope.
It is, but that's always funny. My problem, Dom, and I always laugh about, like, you know, we've seen quite famous people, like not really famous, but like fairly famous in Australia. And we've noticed on their social media sometimes, like it's obviously their auntie commenting. And they will like reply, like, oh, thanks, Auntie D, or whatever.
That's funny.
And I'm like, oh, it's funny. This won't stop. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I wonder if someone like Matt Damon is getting getting
messages
replies
from his nan.
From his nan with like thoughts on the movies he's doing.
I saw The Martian. Ooh, were you really on Mars?
That's what they would have, like, really specific issues with it. Like, they wouldn't kind of get the whole concept. It would be like, oh, that person you were with was really annoying and like wouldn't understand that it was a character. Oh, well, you know, that's a part of it. So do you guys hang out often? Like, no.
My aunt, who is a wonderful person, love my aunt. She's so positive. And every reply is always like, so handsome, like just that sort of thing. Sorry, it's my bad impression of her.
Yeah.
But then the one time, like it was one Australia date, and I shared some change the date.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just the one word reply was, no. So not afraid to engage on political issues either. We get an update on, in break two still, we get an update from Ricky on his fight prep. Grant Bothy, his opponent, has hired a hypnotist. Now, I thought listening to this, if this was like a regular radio show, part of this, Ricky's going to be in a boxing match story arc. If they found out Grant Bothy had a hypnotist to help him train, they would surprise Ricky in studio. Look what we've organized, Ricky. It's a hypnotist. He's going to hypnotize you right now. We'll get into that after the song.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Hypnotism was a big thing that radio would love to do. Not as much anymore.
Yeah. I've been a part of a hypnotist thing. It was
Were you hypnotized?
No, I was a producer. I was a lackey answering the phones. But it was like a British boy band. One of those like in the wake of One Direction. There was a bunch of British boy band types. And they hypnotized the boy band. And three of them played along fully. One of them just was having no part of it. Was just like looking at everyone else.
Well, I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's about how willing you are to do it.
Because yeah.
It kind of...
The power of suggestion.
Yeah.
In break three, Carl's mum's Rockbusters. She sent them in the post. How adorable. Speaking of wonderful family members, how nice is this?
This is actually exactly what I was just talking about. Kind of got it.
Yeah.
Like kind of, but missed kind of the main point.
Let's have a listen.
This group likes being by the sand and the sea.
This group likes being the they're the Beach Boys, by any chance. This band are called the Beatles.
Hang on.
Yeah. There's, the fun is how cryptic they are.
Yeah.
And when it's just pretty straight clues, not so fun.
But so nice. Sent in the post from Manchester to England, to London.
Yeah, I guess just, that's the only way you could do You could do fax. You could email.
But I don't think even Ricky and Steve are on email at this point, the way they talk about Carl and his interactions on the internet. So Carl's parents on the internet in 2002 wouldn't have thought so.
How long do you think cash is around for? I tried to get cash yesterday to pay for like a Facebook Marketplace purchase. It took me like half an hour to find an ATM. There's not many around.
It'll be like vinyl.
You reckon?
Yeah. Like,
there'll be hipsters.
Same like radio.
There'll be hipsters around with a Sony Walkman listening to the radio, vinyl yeah. under the arm and cash yeah. in their pockets.
Yeah. That'll be it. Yeah, Brooke's moving in. You've seen now what a mess it is at this place. So we've been selling some stuff on Marketplace. So we actually have like a few notes. And I don't know what to do with them.
No.
Well, I know what to do with them. Spend them. But the bank I'm with doesn't have any physical like brick and mortar shop. So I can't go in and deposit it. I need to like hide it under a mattress or something.
Well, I had to get cash out and I had some cash left over. And this is how not used to it I am. You know, they used to say if you want to save money, get cash out and only spend your cash because it will make you feel like you're spending money. I reckon it's gone the opposite now because now when I have cash, it feels free. I'm like, well, I've got it out of my bank account already. Yeah. I may as well spend it.
There's plastic, like an exchange for goods and services. I always get that though, like if I have a note and then I buy something and then there's change, I go, well, this is awkward to have this change. I need to find ways to get rid of it. And I'll go like, oh, there's $6 here. Like I can go get a coffee and then just, you know.
But then when I go to the coffee shop to do that, I always feel like I should apologize.
There you go. Handing over your small pile.
Especially over the last couple of years where you don't want to be exchanging things that lots of people have touched.
Mm.
So I'm kind of feel like, sorry, I'm trying to get rid of change.
Yeah. Well, while Brooke's been sorting through her stuff as she's moved in, she found a wallet with £30, three 10-pound notes. She was going to just throw it away.
The wallet or the cash?
The cash.
What? Found this? £30. I know. That's like $50.
Exactly. That's so we're gonna save it until I come over there in September for the RSK convention. And then we'll spend those pounds. But I assume, it must be the same in the UK. I know the US still uses checks. I do not understand that in the world of electronic banking. But yeah. Are you not using cash anymore? Leave a comment below the Patreon. We then go into a song, quick break, quick talk break into ads. And then in break five, speaking of moving, Carl's on the move. And he said the XFM listeners came around who bought the futon and the table last week. Said they were quite normal, which is good, except they did bring the whole family around, which was a bit odd.
Yeah, sure. Well, didn't they... Didn't Steve or Ricky, one of them saw our whole family going through the hard rubbish one day.
Which we've established in Australia, quite normal.
So that, maybe it was the same family. Picking up an internet bargain or a radio bargain.
A radio bargain on their Saturday morning adventures. I sold a TV and the guy came around with a giant van, which I thought was a bit strange. And then he saw how much stuff we had laying on the ground and he said, are you trying to get rid of any of this other stuff?
Interesting.
And we went, well, yeah, this is going to go to Vinny's, these three bags of clothes. And he went, I'll take them. And then then he started sorting through the box full of kitchen stuff. He took like a measuring cup. He said he owned a shop.
And what type of shop?
I don't know. But then he gave me a business card at the end and it was for a moving company.
This is bizarre.
I think I've just met he's one of those guys, he always had his AirPods in the entire time, the entire interaction. Yep. Just always working. Always
hustling.
Working different angles, well, isn't different
that
what, businesses.
Wasn't that a thing that Gary Vee said, this New York hustler that people love to listen to his podcast? He said there was $5,000 in your house. $5,000. It was like the $5,000 challenge where you should go around your house, look for things you don't use anymore and sell them online. and he reckons everyone had $5,000 worth of stuff.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah, have you seen him before?
I've seen him on, yeah, YouTube.
Yeah, he had a famous clip about loving Mondays. He's the anti-Garfield. He was on the street corner in New York, and he's like, Mondays are the time when everyone's in bed, everyone's hating it, and you get out of bed and you start selling or something. I don't know. I forget what it said. But the idea was Monday morning should be your favorite part of the week because you get to go to work.
The little bit that I have seen, it was pretty cringy.
Oh, he's like super famous, man. He's into Brisbane. He's toured the world talking about hustling.
But he just screams that like, I'm alpha. Take these supplements. A little bit. Bitcoin.
A Bitcoin, yes. I don't think he's into supplements, but I don't know. I tried to watch a bit because I wanted to do like a parody of it, but I couldn't really. I wasn't skilled enough as a performer. And then lots of other people did much better ones. And so I was like, gave up on it. But I watched a fair bit and it seemed fairly unremarkable. It was just like exactly what that guy was doing. It's like, find stuff and sell it. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't know. Yeah, I guess I could do that.
What's his main, just to, you know, we won't talk about this guy too much longer, but it just says he's a Belarusian-American entrepreneur. What's his like
thing? He inherited, his original thing was he like inherited from his parents a wine business, I believe. Like an online wine
business.
He's a
co-founder of a restaurant reservation software company, Resi, and Empathy Wines.
I think he's, I don't know, man.
Okay.
I always get...
I'll come back to my research of this guy. Gary Vaynerchuk.
The
Any Vaynerchuk heads out there, comment below the post.
This is what I get interested in with these hustle people who have social media presence. Sometimes I think that it's just a snake eating its own tail, because it's like they're an entrepreneur, but all they do is share advice to other entrepreneurs. It's like a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then the next person's like, I want to be like them. So I'm going to share advice on how to be an
entrepreneur. Yeah, I'm going to start having seminars and charging.
Yeah, but it's like, but no one has ever done anything.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, no, you got to like have a business first.
Yeah. Speaking of going around and finding $5,000 in your house, you see these? This is a pair of Jordans.
Air Jordans?
I was like, I want some just plain black sneakers about 2 years ago, around pandemic times. I bought them. They're size 11, a little bit too narrow on my feet. I wore them like 4 times.
Yeah.
And then I tucked them away. Yeah, they're a bit dusty. And I was going to sell them. I was going to put them on Marketplace. I looked them up. They're really valuable.
How much did you buy them for?
$110.
How much can you sell them for?
Well, I saw on one, like a sneaker place where people bid.
Yeah.
And they were up to $1,000.
Wait, how does that work?
I don't know. Look, they were only manufactured for 2 months in 2019.
Oh, so you just bought them by coincidence?
Yeah, and I was so confused by, well, there's no tread worn off or anything. I got to clean them properly. But there you go, Vaynerchuk.
That's right. Well, he actually
good
made
step
sneakers.
In the right direction.
That was the thing he did. He like brought out his own sneakers.
Vaynerchuks, like Converse.
That would have been better, I think. I'm not sure. I don't think he did that. But they But then it was just like, I was just like, but now you're just selling to, it was just like a very much a beast that feeds itself.
Yeah.
Like you're selling to the people.
He's successful because he's a public entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a public entrepreneur because he's successful.
Yeah, it's like which one, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so Carl talking about his moving experience and they stumble across this hilarious detail.
He said Suzanne's hired the oldest removal man in London.
You should hear him. And the thing is, right, we booked him because everyone else happened to be booked out, but this fella's free, right? So he called up this morning. I've never spoke to him, but he was on the phone. He sounded about 90.
Yeah.
I can't think that he's going to have to do all the work.
And the thing is, right, it seems to be cheap.
He already wanted some Werther originals.
Yeah, right, yeah. Listen, it seemed to be cheap because it's £50 an hour. But how long is it going to take him?
Yeah. So funny.
This is when Carl's at his best, when he's genuinely annoyed.
Yeah.
You know, he's okay in other moments, but like, I think that's a genuine feeling he has. And the way he communicates that is so funny.
And he's dissecting why. And it's coming through the filter of Carl, which is, I think the show is at its best when Carl's telling a story and then Ricky and Steve using their wit to react to it. But then very, a very close second, which is what they sort of capitalize on for Idiot Abroad, is Carl's reactions to difficult, like to situations that make him uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The way he sort of illustrates how he's feeling and what he thinks about it all.
I love it when he feels like he's getting ripped off or yeah. he feels like he's being scammed.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
I just quickly, have you, I don't think I've ever had a totally normal interaction with movers. There's always been something that's
what's
been
happened?
Right. No, to the just little things like they drive up and I'm in an apartment complex and the whole time they work, they're cranking music out of the front of their thing. And it's like, I have neighbors. What are you doing?
I have seen some very old guys before and they use those like, they wear the supports, braces.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
like, oh man.
That's just smart.
Are you going to be okay? They go full ball down the stairs with a couch.
Running down.
Yeah. This. I'm like, okay, I trust that you know what you're doing.
Then we get into ep one of Pilkington. Love the music.
This wasn't as bad because you had queued me up to the fact that you always skip through it. I was like, oh, this is going to be hard to listen to. I thought it was pretty good. I think there was ways they could do it better, but generally I thought it was good.
We might have even said this last week. It should have been, he should have played short clips and then had them react. Another short clip, reaction.
Like Gogglebox kind of thing.
Yeah. But instead it was one long thing. But yeah, no, when I just tune out, I just tune out stuff like this.
It was like, hilarious. Okay. He did well to keep it pretty short. I think he probably kept it at about 2 minutes, maybe a bit longer.
Did you hear him say that it went for 50 minutes?
Hilarious.
And so you heard how clean the edit was. So he would have done a lot of work and done the thing that I do every day in my job, which is find the edit point and then go, okay, well, cool. Well, hey, while we're talking about that and you insert the question or how he would have, you know, had to just jump in and cut it all together, try to make it sound seamless.
Re-record some kind of bridges.
Yeah. The worst is when you're coming off a laugh.
Yeah, what everyone forgets is after you laugh, you do a big breath in. There's a bit of a hat for you. So if you're trying to come back from a laugh, go, so anyway.
Yeah, instead of, ha, 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 anyway.
And also it's a beginner's mistake to go 50 minutes. You always feel when you're talking to someone that you could talk for ages and you always lean towards, we'll record heaps and we'll edit it down. But that will take you hours.
Torture.
To edit.
Yeah.
Just be intentional with your questions and keep it short and sharp.
Nowadays, at least on my show, I go, hey, the full raw unedited interview is on the podcast. Go check it out. But even that is 10, 15 minutes max because I'm pretty good at like now listening and going, that's a part. And then you can cut it out and be a bit ruthless.
The people who are really good at this are like political interviewers. I don't know who in other countries, but in Australia, like Lee Sales on 7:30, basically anyone who's ever presented 7:30, like our political interview show, because they only have a certain amount of time. And when you see someone who's really good at interviewing, it's like they have a really direct question. The politician tries to sidestep it. The next one is kind of like a synonym of the question before. So technically a different question, but I'm now coming at it at a slightly different angle. And when you watch what they do, they are so good at getting a lot into 8 minutes.
Mm.
Whereas like it's really hard when you're beginning to not let people talk for ages.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got to be good at kind of cutting them off or getting short answers. It's like when you see people who are really good, it's quite masterful.
Mm. In break six, we get onto Rockbusters and go through the prizes. That's what that whole break is. In break seven, Ricky summarizes Carl's rise to fame.
Right. Now, when she said, I mean, the interviewer.
Hang on a sec.
Carl's the main man. Think of Carl, a year ago, he was just sitting in that room going, all right, I've done this. XFM. It's good, isn't it? Yeah, it's like a music bed. Brilliant. Comes on the show, we start taking the piss out of him.
Mm-hmm.
People start going, oh, who's the idiot you've got in? And we go, he's Carl. And they go, we like him. He's a fool. I go, yes, he's a fool. He's a pet buffoon. And they go, we'll let him speak more, right?
The biography of Carl to this point.
He's our pet buffoon.
Yeah. They then talk about the new poster campaign, which Carl is not a part of.
Do you want to have a look?
Yes.
I've got two here. Is this one?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's
Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, Saturdays 1 to 3. Catch them now before someone else is the flavor of the month.
Oh, that's a bit of a neg.
Yeah, and they're both in kind of like open tuxedos. Like they're in tuxedos, but they've taken their tie off.
On what? On live?
So it's either on XFM. It's on XFM on Livewire. 1350 or 1350 AM.
AM as well.
Here's another one. Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant are back on XFM.
Saturday. That looks like a magazine or newspaper ad.
Saturday, 1 to 3 for 6 weeks only. You can hear it on XFM in London, nationally on Sky.
So that's when they came back for what is series 4 of the XFM show.
Okay.
So they do 51 or 52 weeks of series 2. Then they come back and do 37, I think, for series 3. And then they're like, all right, we'll be back soon. And then 18 months goes by. They come back to fill in for Adam and Joe. Right as they're getting ready to make extras.
Two things I love about this. Firstly, doing physical posters is so
for
cool.
For a radio show.
So cool. Never do that anymore. Secondly, why are they in suits in both of those photo shoots? Like in one of them, they're in a tuxedo. I think the vibe of one of them was like, we've just got off stage receiving an award. That's what it feels like. We're at an award after party and we've taken off our bow tie. And we're having a great time. And the other one, they're in like full suits with ties tied right up to their neck. Isn't XFM meant to be like the rock, cool, young station?
That's fair enough. Yeah. That's fair enough. That's a cool poster though. That second one. There's another one I'm trying to find where Ricky is doing this, like doing that thing. The thinker. Thumb and yeah, the thinker pose under his chin. But I can't find it.
I would love even the fact that they did an advertising campaign for a 6 week show. There's not even all that they do now is just like very broad billboards for breakfast shows in Australia. I don't know what they do around the world.
Yeah, I sounded quite shocked and say like a show for a billboard, but then I remembered they do still a lot of digital billboards around for breakfast radio shows and that sort of thing.
But it's never any more specific than just like the fresh hits.
Ash Kip and Lutzy.
For breakfast.
Yeah.
But there's never any characteristic of what the show's like.
Yeah. What would be on your poster? You and Dom.
These are always like hard. They're so much harder than what you think.
Headphones around the neck, holding up the cord that's not plugged in, looking confused.
That was the famous Hamish and Andy one.
Was it?
They might have taken from someone else. I don't know.
I liked their podcast poster, which was them dressed as giant AirPods. They were one each.
Yeah. It's difficult to come up with them. That one is like they thought of a concept and they lent into it. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what the concept is.
I appreciate the effort. Someone, they would have had to go and there would have been email sent.
Yeah, because I guess it would have AirPods, had to be custom measurements. Because, yeah, there's not a... You probably can't get that from like a costume shop.
Off the shelf. Rockbusters clues. Stop throwing that fruit about. CB, that Scottish fella has made an error. M, you can't make a right... Oh, sorry. You can make a right load of toast with them. G, did you get any of those?
No.
No. The M one is just ridiculous. Educating Ricky. Is the tip included? Excuse me. I wouldn't have come here in hindsight, and I'm going to have to thump you. Ricky makes a good guess for the first one.
That's probably not going to be about a waiter. It's going to be if that's someone losing the end of his knob.
Starting to think like Carl. And Carl, I've related to this a lot. He's struggling to find stuff for the show. Yeah, trawling the internet looking for content.
He's like, not much has happened this week.
Yeah. That's as Marty Sheargold says, feeding the beast, that is FM radio. But Carl, they only do the show once a week. That's you know, surely. If it was a daily breakfast show, understandable.
And he's just coming up with three. He needs to find three kind of offbeat stories.
Yeah. Too much.
It can be hard if you put yourself too much down one avenue. like he has to find these offbeat stories. They have to be these weird kind of quirky things. Yeah, maybe he can't find three every week.
What are your sources? Or do you not really do that sort of... Because I know you...
The news a lot.
Yeah, but which ones?
Okay. The Gold Coast News is usually great.
Okay.
That's usually where you find a lot of... Because I like the news because they upload all the clips to Facebook. And I like the kind of regional news places because you can often find kind of funny stories there.
And you're looking on Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook. Yeah, because
so you just follow Gold Coast News on Facebook or
but also
any sort of regional town. I do a show for regional Australia. I've got to do that.
There's a show in New Zealand I follow called Seven Sharp. That's like their A Current Affair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's got some good stuff sometimes. A Current Affair in Australia, which is like kind of tabloidy. No, it's not tabloidy. Well, how would you describe
it? I'd say it's worse than tabloidy. I don't know. It's the show.
Like, Neighbours from Hell,
Chasing Dodgy Tradies.
Yeah.
How to Save Money at the Supermarket. It's all that.
It's one of my favourite shows.
Yeah.
It's so good. They're geniuses, the journalists. It's masterful the way they play that instrument of like how they frame like going after someone. Like, so if it's someone in the public eye, for example. Because sometimes they do like, it's not a takedown, but let's say there was a complaint about, there was one once about this guy who was like ripping people off, but he was like one of those ex like reality TV guys, but he was selling something, like it was, the accusation was he was selling something online that was dodgy. The way that they go down a hole. And then, so it's an 8-minute story. They go 4 minutes pushing a certain point of view. Then the last 2 minutes, they start reversing their own work, right? They show another point of view just to create some doubt. And then the last line when they throw back to the presenter in the studio, they'll say something like, maybe he isn't that bad after all. Like they dig a hole, then they slowly fill it back in. And then so afterwards, they're completely clean. They can't be done for like any, like they are so good at like, instead of making a statement, they'll ask questions that make it sound like that they're saying something, but they're not saying anything. And so they're just so good at framing these stories in a way that makes you think a certain thing, but they don't actually say that, if you get what I mean. So like, they're just untouchable. You cannot win. If they come after you, you cannot win. Because I've seen every attempt that a person has made covering the camera, not talking, trying to invite, I've seen people invite them into their house to think, well, I'll take them on head on and I'll give them an interview if that's what they want. They are so good at editing. They are so good at phrasing questions. They are so good at like making it black and white and turning you not talking into slow motion. And it's like, why wouldn't he talk to us? What does he have to hide? They're just so good at it. They are so good at it. You cannot win. You can't beat them.
What would you advise then if anyone
I don't know. You can't. I've seen the only one I saw get close were The Chaser, because The Chaser were an Australian comedy group who made a lot of fun of these. There was a few TV shows like this and they made a lot of fun of them. And then The Chaser had a controversy and they went, okay, we're going to go and back at
they
you.
They were confronted.
And they were confronted. And they were probably the only ones, only because they were so... These shows maybe bit off a little more than they can chew in that one, because at the time The Chaser were pretty well liked, and so it was pretty hard to frame them any differently, because Australians love like a larrikin who kind of makes jokes and stuff like that, and so that they were probably the only ones I saw like that they probably did the best out of it. It was just like it just didn't quite stick.
Okay. I remember in uni, we had the executive producer of Today Tonight, which is one of those shows.
Today Tonight's not quite as good. That's died out now.
Okay. And he said, my job is to make a compelling half hour of television, not to report the news or like...
I love thinking about the moments the cameras turn off. There's this famous one that happened last year where they were confronting someone about, you know, it's always about fence disputes and stuff like that. People, there's neighbors fighting. So the reporter will go over to someone's house and they'll go like, hey, next door neighbor says your fence is in the wrong spot. These guys were hosing though.
Yeah, and the reporter
he turns the hose on him, but the guy doesn't run away. But he kind of he perfectly tries to make it look like he's trying to avoid it without really trying to avoid it. So he's getting he's in a full suit, like with microphones and everything, and he's getting doused by this hose.
Hosed down by a guy in the suburbs,
and he's going like, you know, stop it, kind of thing. It makes it out as if like he doesn't want to be hosed. As soon as the cameras stop and they're in the back in the truck, they're high-fiving, they're calling back, they're
great
going,
footage.
I got hosed. Clear
we got it.
We got the lead story. We've got all the promos. And it's excellent.
Yeah.
It's great TV. They are so good at it.
Do you reckon if they forgot to film, you're like, oh, just go change. Hey, mate, do you mind doing that again? We need a second take.
Those are good ones. The ones where they chase them down the street, those are great. It's my favorite TV show.
I can't believe that. Okay, well, cool. They're good sources. I need to get back on Facebook to start following those things because, yeah, I'm on Lad Bible a lot.
Yeah.
You know, just looking for weird stories like Carl. Feeding the beast. So, what's next? What's next? Break 9. Ricky agreed with Carl in a conversation earlier in the week that jellyfish should be wiped out because what are they good for? Do you think they're aware, just already sort of fed up with how useless jellyfish are? I think about we're in Queensland, but we're in southeast Queensland. In northern Queensland, you've got the box jellyfish and the Irukandji, two things that will kill you if you happen to brush along them.
Yeah.
Like how?
They're so transparent that they're very difficult to spot in the water as well.
And the Irukandji is about the size of your fingernail, will send you into cardiac arrest and kill you.
That does scare me, yeah, because with climate change, as the water heats up, it will come down further south. We currently don't have it where we live, but it might come down further.
Oh, that'll be fun to be the first person that finds out about that.
We have blue bottles, though, which still hurt like hell.
Yeah, but just a bit of piss and you're fine.
Apparently, you meant to piss on.
I've never been stung.
They're like it's like a bottle cap size, right? That's what I think why they're called blue bottles. And that's like a little air bubble.
Yeah, a little like
it floats on the top.
Little testicle-shaped thing.
And then it has long
blue talons.
Strings.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they wrap around you.
Yeah.
And they hurt like hell.
Yeah,
and you can feel the venom go into your lymph nodes. So I got stung on my thumb. You can feel it over the next kind of hour. It goes up your arm, and then you can feel it under your arm, like where as it's circulating through
Ooh,
your body,
and it starts to swell.
It just like it's not my. It happened to my wife once, and she was just like uncontrollably throwing up on the beach.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Not nice.
Yuck.
But they come in on certain winds, northeasterlies.
Uh-huh.
So they get blown in. So you know once you know
okay.
what winds to avoid. You see them on the beach and stuff too.
Yeah, you see them. Yeah. I remember at Bondi, like on quite a busy day, just the volunteer lifeguards, that's what they were doing. They had dug a little hole near where they were sitting and they were using fins, like swim fins, to go and like pick up blue bottles and just dumping them in this little...
Have you been stung by a blue bottle?
I don't think I have, no. No. But yeah, that's a worrying thought that about warming waters because you go to North Queensland, everything there wants to kill you.
That's
where the biggest saltwater crocodiles are, the worst snakes. Even the bloody cassowaries will rip your heart out.
A lot more kind of spiders and things as well.
I was at Bundaberg for Easter with Brooke and we surfed every day. And
surfed.
Yeah, there's a beach. There's a nice beach
with
break.
Waves.
Great beginner break.
Really?
Yeah. The water's a little murky, and I was like, "Are there sharks here? Like, are we?" You know. And everyone seemed very relaxed about it. And her parents have lived there their whole lives, and like never heard of a shark attack here. Because I was like, I can't see anything in the water, so should I feel better about that or worse?
Well, generally. Sharks like cooler water.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought, are we in the sweet spot of it's
yeah.
too warm for great whites and too cold
yeah.
for saltwater crocodiles?
Yeah. Or box jellyfish. Yeah, we are right in the sweet point now, but that's going to move further south. So we just slowly
that's what I mean.
Have to
that's
like
the, yeah.
merge down the coastline.
Yeah, we've all got to go to Tasmania, Zach.
Oh, yeah, man.
You were sussing it out for us.
Super sharky down there.
Actually, yeah, that's a good point. if Carl could have any animal today, it would be a scorpion in a little box.
I love how I relate to this. And you saw this last week when you asked me what I'd do with $1 million or when I won the lottery. Like, Carl gets the pressure of having to lock in a decision forever. Like, Ricky starts to tell him here, he's like, you know, don't overthink it. It's just for a day. You're not committing to it forever. Just what's the first thing that comes to your mind? But he feels like a lot of pressure in picking the right thing.
Yeah. Animal, you can pick one today. Go.
I'd have to agree with Ricky. A monkey.
Monkey.
Because they could be your friend.
But what? I mean, my answer would be a dog.
That's exactly what I was just thinking when I listened to this. I forgot about that. We've already made our decision.
Yeah. as a species.
Because as a species, there was a time where a dog was a wild animal. We could pick any.
Mm.
And we picked a dog.
Oh, well, imagine if people bred designer chimps. You know, like the way that they've done with design. Now we've got labradoodles and stuff.
Or like even what would a domesticated chimp be like?
Yeah.
Could you even
lots
do that?
Of fun.
Is that just a human?
It'd be just...
it would just be domesticated a little... chimps?
It would just be a smaller human that sits on top of the bookcase and masturbates.
Doing a puzzle.
For our amusement.
No, they wouldn't be domesticated then.
Carl slips into his story of the restaurant in Turkey that had a number of little people on the staff, and one of them was cracking onto Susan, which made him uncomfortable. In break 10, we finally get to, is the tip included? Now, through all the Carlisms, it's a mess of a story, but what he's, I thought, there must be something to this. I'm going to look this up. So what he is trying to talk about is called a, I'll pronounce this incorrectly, a Sunnet festival. It centers around the circumcision of a boy. The ceremony signals his transition into adulthood. The procedure is the highlight of the celebration, which takes place at the boy's home, in a banquet hall, or even a restaurant. Sunnet carries deep religious connotations for followers of Islam. So the difference is between anyone else is it gets circumcised. Usually it's right when you're born. But this festival is like the boys can be like 6 to 9 years old.
And do you notice how quickly Ricky identifies, this is the interesting thing, something that could be legitimately offensive. He's okay talking a bit of smut, but like his kind of racist alarm bell goes off and he's like, whoa, actually, yeah, this might be legitimately
wrong.
An offensive thing to
make fun. Whereas the wordplay about the word cock, he'll go on endlessly.
Yeah.
But something like this, he knows, yeah, he has some sense. The final Educating Ricky contains this wonderful piece of advice.
If you're in Kenya, you don't put beans in your ears or something.
If you're in Kenya, don't put beans in your ears or something. I also looked this one up, the story from Nairobi, Kenya. A Kenyan doctor who removed a bean in the ear of a young girl forced it back when her parents said they couldn't afford the bill, local newspapers reported. The Daily Nation said the doctor successfully removed the bean from the child's ear and then presented the parents with a bill for $5.75. When they said they did not have enough money, the doctor grabbed the child, forced the bean back in her ear, and ejected the family from his workplace. The Kenya Medical Association said it was investigating the incident.
Wouldn't you discuss the payment previous to the procedure?
I don't know how they do things in doctor's surgeries in Kenya.
This is a technique used by snake catchers in Australia, though.
Really?
Yeah, it's like you come get my snake. Because my friend was a snake catcher. And you pick up the snake and then you're removing it from the house and you go, you know, it can be quite a lot of money. You go like, hey, that's $195. And someone goes, I'm not paying that. And they go, all right, I'll just go put it back. And they go, whoa, okay, hang on.
Interesting. Oh, that's good to know. Dodgy snake handlers. Carl
I actually found a very affordable snake catcher, though. If you ever
if I ever open my shoebox and there's a snake in there,
yeah,
I'll give you a call. Carl apologizes for this week's Educating Ricky. Like I've said, relatable. You know, often on this show,
they can't always be great.
They can't all be great. And break 12, we get the Rockbusters answers. They're absolutely ridiculous. Mystique, particularly, is one of the all-time great, terrible ones. And that's the end of the show. Did you have a favorite bit?
Yeah, how annoyed Carl got at his removalist.
That's funny. My favourite bit is Carl's mum's Rockbusters.
Yeah, that's good too.
Yeah. Next week, Series 2, Episode 15, the poster campaign is well and truly underway and it's starting to take off. Steve was shocked to see a homeless person doing something in particular. And Richard Anderson gets back in touch with the guys. We also get a rundown of Carl's dad's mates, the ones that Carl grew up around. All of them are in this illustration that I'm working on. And heaps more. That's next week on the show. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/CarlyPilkBoys. Contact us, carlypilkboyspod@gmail.com. We've got an Instagram, carly.pilkboys. Zach Mander, check out what he's up to on Instagram and TikTok. And my name's David Ferrier Cartoons on Instagram. Zach, see ya next week.